The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Second Canto, Chapter Number 10, Text Number 46, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on January 21st, 2015, in Austin, Texas, USA.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The process of creation and annihilation, described in summary herein, is the regulative principle during the duration of Brahma's one day. It is also the regulative principle in the creation of Mahat, in which the material nature is dispersed. Purport. There are three different kinds of creation called Mahakalpa, Vikalpa, and Kalpa. In the Mahakalpa, the Lord assumes the first Purusha incarnation as Karanadakashai Vishnu, with all the potencies of the Mahatattva and the 16 principles of creative matter and instruments. The creative instruments are 11. The ingredients are 5, and all of them are products of Mahat, or materialistic ego. These creations by the Lord and His feature of Karanadakashai Vishnu are called Mahakalpa. The creation of Brahma and dispersion of the material ingredients are called Vikalpa. And the creation by Brahma in each day of His life is called Kalpa. Therefore, each day of Brahma is called a Kalpa, and there are 30 Kalpas in terms of Brahma's days. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 8:17 as follows. Sahasta yuga paryantam maharyad brahmano vidu ratang yuga sahasrantam teharatta vidho jana. In the upper planetary system, the duration of one complete day and night is equal to one complete year this earth. This is accepted even by the modern scientists and attested by the astronauts. Similarly, in the region of still higher planetary systems, the duration of day and night is still greater than the heavenly planets. The four yugas are calculated in terms of the heavenly calendars and accordingly are 12,000 years in terms of the heavenly planets. This is called a Divya Yuga. And 1,000 Divya Yugas make one day of Brahma. The creation during the day of Brahma is called Kalpa, and the creation of Brahma is called Vikalpa. When Vikalpas are made possible by the breathing of Mahavishnu, this is called a Mahakalpa. There are regular and systematic cycles of these Mahakalpas, Vikalpas, and Kalpas. In answer to Maharaj Pariksit's question about them, Śrīla Goswami answered in the Prabhasa Khanda of the Skanda Purana. They are as follows. Pratama Shveta Kalpascha Tavtiyo Nida Lohita Vamadevasta Triyastu Tatogan Tataro Para Rārava panchama prokta shashta prana iti smita saptamota brihatkalpa kandarapostama uchyate sajota navama kalpa ishano dashama smita jana ekadasha prokta stata sarasvato para trayodasha udanastu gurudata chaturdasha karma pancha dasho gyeya Parinamasi Prajapate Shodasho Narasinghastu Samadhastu Tato Paraha Agneyo Vishnuja Sara Somakalpastato Para Dvavingsho Bhavana Prakta Supamanichichapara Vakuntascharstitashtastatavad Valdikalpastato Paraha Sato Vingshota Vairajo Gaurikapastata para Mahevarashtata Toktas Triparo Yatragatita Pittikapastata Chante Yakuhur Brahmanasmrita. Therefore, the 30 kalpas of Brahma are 1. Shveta kalpa, 2. Nilalehota, 3. Vamadeva, 4. Gantatara, 5. Rarava, 6. Prana, 7. Brihat kalpa, 8. Kandarpa, 9. Sojota, 10. Ishana, 11. Jhana, 12. Sarasvata, 13. Udana, 14. Garuda, 15. Karma, 16. Nadasingha, 17. Samadhi, 18. Agnyaya, 19. Vishnuja, 20. Sara, 21. Somakalpa, 22. Bhavana, 23. Supama, 24. Vaikuntha, 25. Archasha, 26. Valikalpa, 27. Vairaja, 28. Gaurikalpa, 29. Maheshvara, and 30. Paitrikalpa. These are Brahma's days only, and he has to live months and years up to 100, so we can just imagine how many creations there are in kalpas only. Then again, there are virkalpas. There are virkalpas which are generated by the breathing of Mahavishnu, as stated in the Brahma Samhita. Yashaika nishvasita kalam atavam blam jivanti loma vilaja jagadanda nata. Brahma Samhita 5:48. The Brahmas live only during the breathing period of Mahavishnu. So, the exhaling and inhaling of Vishnu are called Mahakalpas. And all these are due to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for no one else is the master of all creations. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Badan Sahagana Lalita Jivishakanvitam Cha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine. So, this is incredible information. Let's see if the scientists can give us anything like this. It's not possible. They have not a clue of any of this stuff that's going on in the universal creation, the kalpas, the vikalpas, the mahakalpas. They know absolutely nothing about this stuff. Their empirical method takes them nowhere. It really is, it's a joke. Their whole empirical method is a joke. I had an interesting experience when I was a young brahmachari back in the 70s. I was in Gainesville, Florida, serving with my beloved godbrother Amarendra Prabhu, our temple president there. He was very much into challenging the scientists. So there was a gathering of all the science students, the science professors, the science. There must have been 3,000 people in that gathering. And a big PhD came in to tell us about the black holes in outer space. Wow. So he went on and on telling us all about the black holes, and so finally it came time for the question and answer session. So I'm there pretty prominently displayed in my saffron robe, my shaved head, and my tilak. So anyway, I raised my hand along with everybody else. I got recognized finally. So I asked the learned professor, I said, is what you're saying a theory or is it a fact? And the learned PhD said, I think it's a fact. Note, he said, I think. I was warned about, I think, when I joined the Brahmacharya Ashram back in 1971 here in Austin. If you ever say, I think, you go to the closet. So anyway, this professor, he put himself right in the philosophical closet when he said, I think it's a fact. And so a few more questions came in. Finally, I got recognized again. And I said, this is actually a loaded question I asked him, and it worked. He fell for it. He went for the loaded question. I said this, throughout the history of modern science, we have seen that one theory comes into popularity for some time, and then in due course of time, it's replaced by another theory. So how do we know that your theory, note he had said it was a fact a minute ago, not a theory, but now I'm calling it a theory. How do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? And he said, well, I hope it is, because then we will be making progress. Wow. Just see the rascal. This they call knowledge. That it's just, you know, whatever the latest hype that commands the greatest recognition, that they call science, until someone else comes along with the more sophisticated hype to undo the first hype, and then another hype, another hype, another hype, another hype. This is hype. Hype, I don't know what you call it. It's not science. It's hypeism, probably a good word for it, hypeism. So anyway, we're very blessed by the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the greatest acharya in the history of the universe. We're very much blessed that this powerful, incredibly realized, unlimitedly powerful, unlimitedly realized acharya has blessed us with actual scientific knowledge of what's going on, both in the material world and the spiritual world. Science means things as they actually are. It's not a speculative thing. You cannot take science as a speculative thing, because your speculative powers are limited by your imperfect senses, your tendency to make mistakes, your tendency to be illusioned, you see. So we cannot really speculate to know the truth. We have to hear from the bona fide authority coming in the line of Vaisiddhic succession from Krishna. Krishna is the original scientist, and those who purely present the teachings of Krishna coming in that line of succession from Krishna, they are the true scientists in the world. The true knowers of reality are those who have understood the teachings of Krishna and repeat the teachings of Krishna as they are, without addition and without subtraction. Evam parampara paptam namam najarshayo vidu sakalineha yoga. In this way, sakalineha mahata yoga noshta parantapa. This knowledge was thus received through the chain of the Vaisiddhic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession is broken, and thus the science as it is appears to be lost. So we're very fortunate that the Vaisiddhic succession that was broken has been, the Vaisiddhic succession through the kings, that succession was reinstated by Krishna, but the knowledge that we're getting in the Brahma Sampradaya, that Vaisiddhic succession is never broken. It's come down unbroken from the very beginning days of this creation. So we are very fortunate to be the recipients. There is actually Brahma Samhita 548 is mentioned here in Prabhupada's purport. Yashaika Nishvashita Kala Matavalam Yajivanti Lamavevarajaraganandanata. That verse is given. So we're very, very fortunate that we have this knowledge coming down from the founder acharya of our sampradaya, Lord Brahma, who received it, Tene Brahma Hridayade Kavaye Moyante Yatsuyadaha, who got this knowledge directly from Krishna himself, you see. If you get the knowledge coming from Krishna, then you know things as they are. You don't have to speculate. When you get the knowledge coming directly from Krishna, you know things precisely as they are because Krishna is the supreme authority. Who is the knower of a thing? The creator of the thing is the knower of the thing, isn't it? Just like Srila Prabhupada, he gives the example. There was one play written by a Bengali gentleman, D.L. Roy. Mr. D.L. Roy, he wrote a drama called Shah Jahan. Of course, you may know Shah Jahan is the one who built the Taj Mahal. So anyway, Shah Jahan, he had a son, a very infamous son, very infamous for what he did in Vrindavan. That son's name was Aurangzeb. He was a real rascal. He put his father in prison, he killed his brother, and he took the kingdom by force, by cheating. He took the kingdom. So, this drama was written about the atrocities of Aurangzeb, but it was named Shah Jahan. So one gentleman was wondering why his D.L. Roy named the drama in this way. He couldn't figure out why it could be called Shah Jahan when it was simply the whole play was about Aurangzeb. So he asked D.L. Roy, what is the deal? Why did you name it Shah Jahan instead of Aurangzeb? He said, well, he was there in prison in the Agra Fort, and he was constantly getting reports to hear of all the atrocities his son was committing, and it was beating on his heart. So he is the actual hero of this drama. Therefore, I've named it Shah Jahan. So if you want to know things as they are, you need to go to the author himself. We can speculate why D.L. Roy named it Shah Jahan, but our speculations, you know, we can't know for sure. But when you actually go to the author himself, then you can know absolutely for sure what the deal is, why it is like that, you see. So Krishna is indeed the creator of everything. Aham savasya prabhava matak sarvam pravartate iti madva bhajante bang buddha bhava samanvita. Krishna is the creator of everything. That's a fact. It's an absolute fact. Krishna is indeed the source of everything. Everything that exists is nothing but Krishna's expanded energy, except for one thing, and that's Krishna himself. There's two things that exist. There's Krishna and Krishna's expanded energy. There's nothing that exists besides Krishna and Krishna's expanded energy. And you can even refine it a little further. There's nothing that exists except Krishna, because Krishna and his expanded energy are non-different. Ekopyasa rachavitan jagadanda kotim yachaktirvasti jagadanda chaya yadanta andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Brahmaji was speaking in this way. He says, he is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that is scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. You know, I really love that way that Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has translated that verse. He's chosen that word, adore, and I really adore that word. You know why? Because if I say, you know, I love you, that's pretty cool. But if I say, I adore you, wow, that amped up about 10 times. I absolutely adore you. That's really powerful stuff. So so understanding the mood of Lord Brahma, he is translated into English as, such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. So that's what we really have to do. You know, Krishna consciousness means you have to learn how to adore Krishna. When you adore someone, all you can do is, you know, put their picture everywhere in every bulletin board. You know, when you adore somebody, you want to have their picture everywhere. You want to, you know, you want to think about them. Everything is for them. Your whole life is completely revolving around them at every minute. Every thought, when you wake up, you think of your beloved When you go to sleep, you think of your beloved. You're wondering, when can I meet with my beloved? What can I bring as a gift for my beloved? In this way, we have to come to this platform of absolutely adoring Krishna, madly head over heels in love with Krishna, feeling great affection for Krishna. Of course, this is a very advanced stage. So now we're just sadhana bhaktas trying to get our rounds done. But we have to understand what the perfection is. We have to very diligently execute the regulative principles of devotional service, sadhana bhakti, so that gradually, that day will come. We actually enter into the sublime realm of raga bhakti, of pure spontaneous love for Krishna, when we can't even live for a moment without thinking of Krishna. You see? As described by Lord Chaitanya, that a moment seems like 12 years or more. Just being away for you for 1 minute. The gopis were cursing Lord Brahma that, why you gave us eyes that blink? This is nonsense. You gave us eyes that blink. You're separating us from Krishna by this blinking of the eyes. They were serious. They were disturbed at Brahmaji for giving them eyes that blinked. That's how intense their feelings of love were for Krishna. So we have to try to develop that mood of intense love for Krishna by serving our spiritual masters, by serving the Vaishnavas, by serving our beloved founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, by serving Lord Chaitanya, by embracing the internal and external mission. You see, the internal mission is you become the pure devotee. Bahir Nasingha Hridayi Nasingha. You have to cleanse within, you see. Hridayi Nasingha. You want that Krishna or Nisringa, they will fully take over your heart. There's nothing in there except love of Krishna, you see. That's called Hridayi Nasingha. Krishna within. Nisringa within. Nothing but no lust, no anger, no greed, no madness, no illusion, no envy, just pure love for Krishna, nothing but Krishna within. And Bahirna Singha, Krishna without, Krishna externally, that means we have to save the world. Papa told us in Los Angeles, now you become guru and you deliver the whole world. So we have a twofold mission. Our internal mission, I must become a pure devotee, and externally, I must save the world. I must work together with my... The Prabhupada Nugas, we have a family business to save the world. Every one of us must see, am I living my life in such a way that I'm being saved and I'm helping the world to be saved, you see. We have to really think, am I doing the best I can for revolutionizing my own heart and for revolutionizing this planet? Or am I just, hanging out in the mode of modes of passion and ignorance, trying to get some more sense gratification? We really have to be very serious about becoming spiritual revolutionaries, to revolutionize ourselves and revolutionize the whole planet. Our duty is to see that every single high court judge on this planet is wearing Vaishnava tilak. Then we've made a little success for our movement. Until then, we got a long way to go. We have to get every single high court judge wearing Vaishnava tilak, you see. And how far? We've hardly begun, actually. I mean, the seed is planted. Prabhupada has planted the seed of a Krishna-conscious world takeover, a Krishna-conscious spiritual revolution. It's not political. It's educational. We're not talking about guns. We're talking about books. We're talking about ideal teachers who are living embodiments of these books. That's what we're talking about. It's an educational revolution, not a weapons, not a guns and, bombs revolution. It's an educational revolution. And we want to take the leadership on this planet. That is our duty. Prabhupada said the Brahmins are the spiritual masters of the whole human society. So Prabhupada has created Brahmanas. Learned teachers who are meant to be ideal examples of Krishna consciousness. So in this way, we have to take seriously our duty to be Krishna conscious and spread Krishna consciousness. So I see we have about 23 minutes left, and I would like to open it up for questions.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Okay, so I'm going to unmute everybody in a moment. I just need to let you all know that...
You know, they can type it in. It would be easier if they just type it in. I'm looking at the chat window.
Do they you want me to leave everybody muted then and just have everybody type?
Well, I'm a little hard of hearing, you know, and
the chat window, I
can read pretty good, but I can't hear that well. So
okay, why don't we
try
that then?
Chat window would be easier, yeah.
Okay, so Prabhu, let's see. I'm going to show you what the chat looks like if you don't see it. Okay, if you're looking at the screen over here on this side, this is your chat. If you don't immediately see it, if it's collapsed, you just press the plus button and it'll come up. And just start typing your question in there. And Secretary Prabhu,
I already got the first one from my beloved godbrother, Narahari Prabhu. Narahari Prabhu Ki Jai. What is the best way to become a revolutionary? Well, you got to revolutionize yourself. You got to say good rounds and follow the regulated principles and follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. There's three basic platforms of being a revolutionary, and that is that Prabhupada gives, and he summarizes, actually, it's in the chapter 6 of the Nectar Devotion. The 64 items of bhakti are all hinged on three things: shelter, diksha, and obedience. You take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, you get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, and you become fully obedient to the bona fide spiritual master. If you do that, now you're a qualified revolutionary, and you can make a big difference on this planet by your everyday's activities. Okay, now we have sadhana bhakti is the same as vaidhi bhakti. Yes, that's right. Fairly synonymous terms. Vaidhi means according to rules and regulations. Yes, they're similar. Okay. All right. And any other questions?
Bala Bhadra Prabhu has a comment. Why don't I just go ahead and unmute him individually? So.
Okay. We'd be delighted to hear your realization, Balabhadra Prabhu. Bless us.
Okay, I found his name. Okay, Balabhadra, we should be able to hear you now. Can you say something?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for that wonderful class, Prabhu. It's just a comment that because in the earlier part of your class, you were relating the story about challenging the scientists about the black hole, and then when you asked him, is this an opinion or is this the absolute truth, and he says, oh, I think it's the truth, something like that. Anyway, he caught him red-handed. And it was reminding me of a similar situation where another devotee gave a class in Denver. It must have been about, 35 years ago. He attended a seminar about mantra meditation, and it wasn't even a yogi or someone like that giving the seminar. It was a scholar, and he said that the scholar made the comment that according to the Vedas, mantra meditation is just some sort of vibration that you say over and over until your mind gets pacified, and it could be any kind of a sound vibration that helps you to achieve that. So when it came time to questions and answers, this devotee challenged him on that. He says, I've been studying the Vedas for about 12 years now, and your definition of mantra meditation, I've never read that anywhere. Where did you get that information? And, of course, the speaker
very good. Jai, Hari Bhav.
The speaker didn't have an answer, but the real surprise wasn't that he didn't have an answer, but even though the whole class saw that he didn't have an answer, still, at the end of the class, everybody went forward to sign up for his program. So my question is, how is that logical? I mean, what's wrong with that picture?
I couldn't make out everything. What was wrong with Ramananda? Can you repeat for me what...
Well, I can repeat it. In other words, okay. Why is it that even though we we see someone exposed as a cheater, we're still willing to follow them.
My deafness problem is getting in the way here. Why is it that what we?
Okay.
Maybe
why,
my
why
sound is better. My sound might be better. He is saying that at the end, everyone still accepted the scientist and signed up for his class. How come we're cheated? We are willing to be cheated.
Why people are still signing up for the class even when they saw that he was defeated? That's the question.
Yes.
Why people? Okay.
Yes, that is the question.
It's like the example is given of the worm. Someone feels pity on the poor worm living in the stool, and they pull the worm out of the stool to relieve him of his grotesque home. And as soon as you let go of that worm, he goes crawling back into the stool. So that's what these people are. They're like worms who are attached to stool. You can even say, "Oh, what are you doing living in it's? Don't you see it's stool?" And they don't care. They want to go back to their stool. They're attached to their stool. Even you show them it's still, they don't, they're still. The thing is, the only way you can really be successful in getting people to give up this rubbish civilization is we have to give them that higher taste. You can show them the falsity of the whole thing, but they'll go running back to it. You got to give them the higher taste. You have to give them experience, a transcendental experience beyond this material existence. That's how you're going to capture the people. You got to give them a transcendental experience, something better than they've ever, some feeling of some happiness, some realization, some wonderful state of consciousness they've never experienced before. That's how we'll capture the people. Just defeating their nonsense isn't good enough. You have to give them a higher taste. So, let's see here. So, one of my disciples has written me. She says, while distributing Krishna book, someone asked which shastra this book is based on. Oh, it's the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna book. Okay. Would you like to share a little bit about what it's like to be an initiating guru in ISKCON? Well, it's like being a parent. I'll be honest with you. Being a parent can be very rewarding and also extremely frustrating and bewildering sometimes. A guru goes through the similar things like a parent does. It's very similar to be a parent. The joys and the frustrations of being a parent the joys and frustrations of being an initiating guru in ISKCON. It has both sides to it.
Sankrishna Krishna Prabhu, you actually missed a question above. Shall I read it to you, or can you see it?
Yeah, let me scroll up. I can see it here. Is it a problem if one takes longer than 7.5 minutes to chant each round of japa? Okay. This is my aspiring disciple in South Africa. The thing is, you need to really hear and pronounce each syllable. That's the basic underlying principle. Now, in the beginning, it may take you longer than 7.5 minutes. That's okay. But what I've seen in my own life is over years and years of trying to carefully chant, it naturally speeds up because you just become more expert. Just like in anything, whether you're playing guitar or whatever you might be doing, anything you do over year after year after year, you naturally become more expert. So one, to actually, pronounce Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if you do it for 30 or 40 years, it becomes easier to pronounce distinctly and hear distinctly each syllable, so you will have it speed up. Prabhupada even said, it's quoted by Hayagriva Prabhu in his book, Hare Krishna Explosion, that Prabhupada said one could chant around within 5 minutes after some practice. So even 7.5 minutes is a certain stage, but it can be faster than that, than 5 minutes around even after time. So just the main thing is just hear distinctly, pronounce distinctly, and don't worry so much about how long it takes. And you'll find over a period of time your rounds will naturally speed up as you become more expert in distinctly uttering and hearing each syllable. Okay. How to develop a taste for chanting? Well, that is described by Rupa Goswami. Sat Krishna Nama Charitari Sitap Yavidya Pato Patasya Vrashana Chandra Kochikanu Kent Vandarandaridan Kadushai Vajushta Sami Kamad Bhavitad Gula Mantra Hantri. He says, the holy name, character, and pastimes of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So there you go. Rupa Goswami is giving you the secret. Carefully chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, every day, and the magic will happen. You'll be carried from the platform of offensive chanting to the clearing stage, and that beautiful day of Shudanam is waiting you down the road when Krishna will fully reveal himself to you. You'll be able to see the transcendental pastimes of the Lord going on at every minute. That when you receive the Shudanam stage. So just keep chanting and you're going to get the greatest reward you could ever imagine. You get anyone can get in the whole universe. Okay. And today a child asked me, where in the tree is the soul situated? That's an interesting question. In the human body, it's in the heart region. I don't really know. To be honest with you, I don't know where it would be in the tree. That's an interesting question. Maybe somebody has read in Prabhupada's books about that. I don't recall having read about that, nor do I know from personal experience, although it's possible that the living entity can move at different times. It gets very cold, he could go down to the root inside the earth. It's possible that he could move and up and down within the tree. That's possible. But any other questions? What? Oh, well, your enthusiasm is infectious. To what do you attribute it? Well, I got a direct letter from Prabhupada when I was a young brahmachari. I expressed my enthusiasm for spreading this movement, and when I sent in my Guru Dakshini by letter to him. And he wrote me back a wonderful letter which has literally lit me on fire, and the fire has never died out. Prabhupada said, I can see that you are a very sincere and enthusiastic boy. He said, so continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. Now, what are you supposed to do when you get an order from the spiritual master, especially direct order from Srila Prabhupada? Is that optional, or is it mandatory? Well, it's anyone who understands this science understands it's absolutely mandatory. You do whatever your guru says, and that's it, finished. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Whatever your guru says, you do it. So Prabhupada ordered me to always be enthusiastic. And he assured me if I did so, I would get the blessings of Krishna. And you know what? It worked. I've kept my enthusiasm up and we've been through a lot of thick and thin in ISKCON, especially back in the after Prabhupada's disappearance. We've been through the thick and thin in this movement. But I never lost my enthusiasm. I never let anything get in the way of being enthusiastic about preaching, enthusiastic about kirtan, enthusiastic about prasadam, enthusiastic about ISKCON. I've never let anything stand in the way of my enthusiasm for all these wonderful gifts that Prabhupada has given us, and it has paid off. I'm getting blessed more and more all the time by Krishna, and the blessings just keep on expanding. What can I say? So the more the blessings come, I get even more enthusiastic. And then even more blessings come, I get even more enthusiastic. So in this way, it's really great. Just follow what Prabhupada said. Be enthusiastic and just see how Krishna reciprocates with your enthusiasm. How important it is to take Brahmana Diksha? Well, it's actually a standard part of our process given by Prabhupada. One should become qualified Brahmana. It means you're being recognized as a fixed-up devotee. Your first initiation qualifies you, if you follow it strictly, to go back to home, back to Godhead. But for the sake of preaching and for the sake of deity worship, Brahmana initiation is very helpful because in Vedic culture, the Brahman, those who have Brahman or initiated as Brahmanas, they are recognized as teachers. So we actually want you to become a brahmana, a recognized ideal example of Krishna consciousness who has proven their steadiness over a period of time after your first initiation vows. When I went for my second initiation with Prabhupada in Atlanta in 1975 on the appearance day of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I went into the room. Prabhupada had one question for me. He said, "So, you are chanting 16 rounds regularly?" And I said, "Oh, yes." And he gave me the trip, you see. So, it's a recognition that you have stuck to this process, you've gotten initiated, you've kept your vows, you're not deviating, you're loyal to Guru, you're loyal to Srila Prabhupada, you're loyal to Krishna, you've proven yourself, now we'll recognize you as a brahmana. You can do deity worship, you can touch the deities, you can go cook in the kitchen for the deities, you can be recognized as a brahmana, as a recognized teacher of the science of bhakti. So it's an important thing. All the devotees should aspire for Brahman initiation. So initiation, Prabhupada considered that first a disciple who gets first initiation, they're initiated. Prabhupada said deathlessness begins from the day of initiation. He was talking about first initiation. When you get the name, you get the Hare Krishna mantra, you get your spiritual name and you get your chanting beads from your Guru Maharaj. When you take your initiation vow seriously, that first initiation qualifies you to go back to home, back to Godhead. The second initiation is an enhancement for the sake of preaching and for deity worship, but the core initiation is that first initiation. Okay, let's see. What are the qualifications for Brahman Diksha? 16 rounds and following the four principles and steadily. Now, ISKCON, each ISKCON center, they can set their own standards because they recommend you to the spiritual master. The gurus don't just initiate people on their own. They get recommended by the local center. That was the system when Prabhupada was here also. The local center would recommend. So, some centers will have a Brahman exam. They want you to become learned in the scriptures. So that's also good. You find out from your local authorities what are their qualifications for Brahman initiation, and you get qualified for it. It's very helpful. It's a very good thing to become more learned in the scriptures, to develop all the qualities of Brahman, to be sense-controlled, to be peaceful, to be austere, to be clean, to be honest, to be tolerant, to be knowledgeable, to be realized, to have full faith in the scriptures. These qualities of the Brahmins are very, very conducive for achieving pure bhakti. So definitely go for the brahminical qualifications. It will help you to achieve supreme perfection of pure bhakti. How do you feel the time to send out, how do you find the time to send out one or two newsletters each day? I prioritize it, that's all. My first business after thinking about getting my rounds done is to get the newsletter done. It's right up there with my japa. I got to chant 16 rounds every day, and I have to write thought for the day every day, and that's all there is to it. I may have to give up sleep. I have to give up eating. Of course, I go to Mangal Aarti and all those things. We have our full program wherever I go. But I just prioritize it, that's all. It has to be done, absolutely, and it's been going on uninterruptedly since 2003, every day. And the results have been enormous. We have 16,000 people signed up on it. You sign up at www.backtohome.com. It's very popular now. It's been very successful. Even a Hollywood actor get on it, and now he gave up Hollywood. Now he's the head brahmachari in our Los Angeles temple. Bhaktivatsala Das is a former Hollywood actor who got on my e-course. So I'm seeing very good results from it, and it's very encouraging. I'm just hoping that, more and more leaders of the world, big important people, can get on my e-course and join, and the whole world can change. I want to see the whole world become Krishna conscious before I leave my body. That's my desire. Okay. Why do we guide the mantra when Hare Krishna mantra is the topmost of the Kali Yuga? It's an enhancement. The Gayatri mantra will help you to chant Hare Krishna better. It's an extra enhancement. That's why. Any other questions? We have Ramananda, was this class end at right on the hour, or what's the deal?
We generally try and keep it within 1 hour, but
okay,
you know, many times we go over.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, any other questions? We can, if there's no other questions, we can have a, did I miss any of them on the chat window? I don't think I missed any of them. Let's look. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I can. I've learned a very good lesson from you, Ramananda Prabhu. This is a wonderful tool. I'd have my own conference call now every day. I use start meeting also. Of course, it's a different timing. It's awkward for you Hawaiians. It would be, it's 7 o'clock Central Time in the U.S., and my meeting ID is 759-247-223. That's 759-247-223. I'll type it in the chat window here. 759-247-223. Now, that's, I do have a daily, it's quite a different time. It's 3 hours before yours. So it would be 3 o'clock in the morning for you all. But for people in Europe, it actually works well. The timing works really well, and other people in South Africa and other places. So anyway, it's been a very delightful thing to be back with all of you here today. And I'm very honored that you've invited me. I don't feel very worthy, actually, of being respected, but I'm very much indebted to all of you for giving me the chance to speak on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, these sublime teachings, which can indeed deliver the whole world from nations. And it is being programmed. I do have a, if you send me an email, I have a link where you can hear. Over 1,000 of my lectures posted. You can just send an email to my email address is sda@backtohome.com, and I can connect you with my recorded lectures there, sda@backtohome.com. I do have a website where I have around 1,000 lectures posted. So, and I'm posting more and more all the time now. I do lecture usually once. Generally, like hundreds of times every year. Generally, oftentimes twice a day I lecture when I'm traveling. In Austin, I'm doing every other day. My wife is also giving lectures here, very qualified Vaishnavi. So anyway, in this way, we're carrying on here, and we thank you all for your wonderful encouragement. You're beautiful. We love you. And may Krishna bless you unlimitedly with prema bhakti.
Well, Sai Krishna Prabhu, I was just going to say that whenever you speak, it's you get quite a crowd, and it's because you're clear, pure, potent teachings. They're simple, but very potent. So thank you, Prabhu, for your association.
Right. Thank you very much for your association. I relish those days we spent together in your home. I remember those days very fondly. And say, all glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.